All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Venus Index podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone. And today we've got a special guest. We've got Jason Haynes, who was pretty much, if I had to say, you know, the guy who really broke the 4 minute mile for everybody. I mean, this is the guy that did it. I mean, he dropped a lot of weight, went from, I mean, I don't want to put you down, dude, but if there was a zero to hero transformation, if I've ever seen one, that was it, dude. So I really appreciate you being here, man.
No problem, man. No insults taken, nothing whatsoever. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, not trying to, you know, talk bad, but I mean, I guess it is what it is, man. You kind of did it. And you know what's funny? For the ladies that are listening, they don't kind of understand our history or and stuff like that. And more specifically, your history with Barbin and the fights you guys used to get in. And that's the best part of it all, is that literally you fought him tooth and nail for a year before you even did anything. And then all of a sudden you push the gas pedal and here you are.
Well, you forget that I bought it like 6 months before I even started arguing with him.
Oh, so yes. That's even better.
So 18 months, bought it, did 6 months of Peter Pottering around and then arguing, and then 18 months later you decided to go, and then 8 months later, there you go.
Well, it's like, you know, you buy it, you put it on, you buy the program, you put it in the rotation with everything else you got going on. It's like, I'm going to get to it one day because this seems to be the way it is. And when you finally get a chance to actually look at it, you're like, well, this isn't what everything else is going on. You know, this isn't everything else that everyone else is saying. What's going on here? And I don't know. It's like, you know, John actually answered my emails. He actually took the time to address these concerns and these problems. And eventually it was just like, look, dude, just try it. All right. Just shut up and try it.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. So literally you had a 2 year process that you could have shortened by 3/4. You just said, okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, totally. I don't know, man. It was kind of like a hesitancy to start trying because, you know, you try so many other things, you hear so many other things, and eventually you just become kind of desensitized to everything.
Sure.
If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, then who do you actually trust at that point? Who's got the right answer? Well, maybe nobody's got the right answer. Well, you go with the majority at this point because the majority's saying this and the majority's got to be right.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
Quote unquote.
And you know what? That's interesting you said it that way. I've never heard anyone say it that way, but now I can see why, you know, some of what we say, especially with Pilon and the Eat Stop Eat, I can see a lot of people like, well, come on. Like, you've got to be kidding. And just everything's so counterculture, I can see how we sound like the biggest BS artist of them all. Like, if we just.
Well, it's like you also put your trust in these nutritionists online and in these programs and these exercise programs and stuff like that. You're trusting that it's going to get to happen. And well, quite frankly, half the time, if not most of the time, it's not working because something's left out. Or there's just something that you haven't quite gotten a hold of yet. You haven't quite gotten a grasp on everything because there's just too much freaking information out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the biggest thing everybody misses, and I've read. I mean, the other day, I just reviewed somebody else's program, and you guys don't know this, I guess I'll announce it, but for, you know, Covert Nutrition, one of the things I'm going to do is have, like, for a lot of the major programs, I'm going to include, like, plugins and stuff and show you how to work with each of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, did Jason Baum, is he out?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So basically, you know, cause Covert really isn't a diet strategy. It's a kind of a lifestyle strategy of how to weave in and out. And so that's kind of one of the things they'll do. But that's the thing, is the big thing that everybody misses. I mean, everybody is the lifestyle constraints. I haven't seen anybody address that at all. And that's the biggest thing. So, all right. A perfect example.
That is true.
You know, and so. I guess we can start with you. I mean, obviously you live in China right now. Let's talk about your diet and all the things that you had to, quote unquote, since you opened up that can of worms, everything you had to work against or that you had going against you, you know, living, you know, in that country and with diet and things like that, that you could have literally said, I mean, if you would have had.
This is impossible. I just can't do it.
Yeah, if you would have had to follow a specific diet plan, and there's a couple of them out there that we can talk about.
You had the mother of all excuses by living there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, yeah, let's talk about that.
All right. Well, basically, out here in this particular region that I'm at, it's like everything is high carb. Your rice and your noodles, that's all the staple food. And the meat and the veggies and everything like that, that's basically considering your flavoring to that rice and to that noodles. Now, everything I ate, and I mean everything with the exception of some oatmeal and a couple protein shakes here and there, was totally carb-based. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now to know, you know, how many grams of carbs I was eating, but, you know, let it be known. I mean, I was only getting like 70 to 120 grams of protein a day. And I guess someone can do the math considering I was eating like, you know, 1300, 1500 calories a day during that cut down. So everything was basic. I was on a super high carb diet during that time, and I still lost, what, 55, almost 60 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and it didn't affect your muscle mass or anything like that, or your strength, did it?
Not in the least. Mm-hmm. Not in the least. And I don't think it affected the final picks too much.
No. Well, obviously not.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, let's kind of quantify that. I mean, you went from where'd you start out at? Like what, 240 or something like that?
No way, dude. Okay, now I'm 5'7" right?
Oh yeah, that's right. Never mind. I thought you were our height. Never mind.
Nah, I'm short guy compared to you.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was only at 201.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But you add that if you go like pound for pound side by side, I mean, if I was your guy's height, I'd be about what you say.
Probably 240.
Yeah, and where'd you finish up overall?
146. That number I still chuckle at that number. I never thought I'd have to get that low.
It's a little shocking, but it's
but I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm really okay with it, guys.
You should be with your pictures, because who cares the number is.
Exactly. It actually took a lot. There was an adjustment period that took in there, and that adjustment period, it went by stages. Okay, I'm at 160. I'm still not there. 150. Okay, I'm not getting below 150. Oh, crap. I got to get below 150. All right, 146 score.
I'm 179 in those pictures you saw.
Yeah.
It's not like I weigh that much.
Yeah, I weighed myself today. I was like right at 178.
People in general just don't weigh as much as – shouldn't weigh as much as they do. Let's say it that way. Yeah. I was going to say we don't weigh as much as we think, but we don't weigh as much as we think we should. Or you know where I'm going with that?
Is that gender specific? It seems that always want to weigh more and women always want to weigh less. But there's a target that should be there. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing with our numbers. And in Venus, we have the body-centric eating guide, and we give what we think is your weight range to the girls for where we think they'll likely be as they approach their Venus Index numbers. So yeah, it's all in there. And I mean, you're right. I think some girls set this unrealistically low target for themselves, but I think there's still quite a bit of girls who hit a certain body weight or have an idea of a certain weight and don't realize they can still go lower than it. It's the same thing when, you know, people are trying to lose weight and they're coming down from a much higher number and they set their target at just what is average in clothes to everyone else. And they're like, oh, well, if I get to this number, that should be all right. And then, you know, if there's still more to go, if you've never set your target, if you didn't know how to set your target, you could erroneously set it too high. You see what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
It can happen for guys and girls. Guys, just because we're arrogant and we think we're bigger than we are. And for some girls that I've worked with, I've worked with girls who are, you know, pretty short, 5'2", 5'1", and they, you know, they're like, oh, you know, between 120 and 130, I should be okay. And when they get to 125, they're like, oh, I kind of think I have a bit more room to go. And I'm like, hey, you know, maybe you do. And then they get to like, you know, the lower 120, she's like, oh man, I still like, there's just a bit more to go. And then I don't know if they didn't allow themselves to believe they could be in the teens or something. And then they get there and, you know, she's like, oh yeah, that's really the weight I was supposed to be. And so for some girls, for shorter girls, they may not believe that even on a short frame, there's still a bit of room to go.
Yeah, I think that's the key. We all forget that it's height centered.
It's completely height specific. So that's why that number
Yeah,
that number shouldn't matter at all, because like the number, the very first question you should ask when someone's like, what the weight was in a picture is like, oh, well, how tall is that person?
Exactly.
Right? So 179 pounds, if I was 6 foot six, that would look pretty thin.
Yeah, a 5'8 guy at 165 is kind of jacked.
He's going to look great.
Yeah, I mean, that's my buddy B, I'm just calling B. I'm going to slip him and say his name one time. I have to edit him out. But he's roided up to the max. I mean, he looks like a fullback, and he might be 5'8". He might even be 5'7", but he's 185 on stage, and he literally is a beast. I mean,
so body weight is related to height, and so, like, for guys, so I don't know if the ladies even understand this, but guys have this number in their head where they need to be, they feel like they need to be 200 and up, and it's weird. No matter how tall they are, they just, something about the number 200 means you're a man, right? And so I don't know, ladies, if any guys ever expressed this to you, but that's kind of our number. That's one of our numbers that we kind of get hung up on, and we all do it no matter how tall we are. How weird is that, right? Like a 5 foot five guy and a 6 foot whatever guy all believe they have to hit 200. And I've heard girls throw around numbers, and it seems to me, and you know, somebody email in and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the number for girls, I've heard a lot of girls, it's got to be something below 120. So as long as the number is 119, 118, anything, one teens. And I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know if I'm making a generalization on too many people or if there's a different number, but I've heard that a lot from girls, regardless of their height, which is ridiculous because how tall you are should be completely related to what a healthy body weight should be. And, you know, for some shorter girls, yeah, 119 might be, you know, 118, somewhere in the teens might be right on the button. But for some taller girls, it might be 130, might be 140, might be 150. It all depends on how tall you are. And so it's kind of ridiculous to think that one gender has a number and the other gender has a number, and those are just the numbers. But we've all sort of grown up somehow inadvertently believing there's just one number for all of us.
Well, the other thing, too, even for women, it seems like to me that anything less than 100 is deemed unhealthy.
Well, if you're short enough, that, you know.
Right.
If you're small. I knew a half British, half Asian girl. She's 4'11", and she looked really healthy at about 97 pounds. And she was just this tiny little thing, and there was nothing wrong with her. That was just, she was just a small human. And there's just no need for her to be any heavier than that.
Right. So that's pretty interesting. So, Jason, let's talk about let's kind of gloss over some of the realizations you had at the very beginning when you were first what were the things you really had to battle in your own head at the very beginning? And then I guess what we really want to talk about is some of the most recent things that you've discovered and more specifically kind of transitioning into maybe the last 2 or 3 inches that you were going down. So I guess just talk about the beginning part of it first.
The beginning part, I guess the first thing that you really have to come over is just finally just letting yourself trust a system, trust what somebody says, forgetting all the other failures that happened in the past and the stuff that didn't work, and actually just buckling down, making the decision to do it, fully deciding and just getting your mind wrapped around this idea and focused on this idea only despite what may or may not have happened in the past. That was the biggest stopping point in the beginning. I think we touched upon that a little bit earlier about just getting all this information in your head, getting all these false claims that you've tried and it's failed and all this kind of stuff. And just, you know, once again, giving it your all, making that decision to go ahead and do it. It's okay. You know, it's almost like giving yourself permission to accept
the advice,
to try it. Yeah.
And now is that a hurdle because because it's an admission that everything else you've tried either was wrong or that it's an admission that you were wrong or that you were, I mean, for lack of a better word, a bit of a sucker for falling for something else? Like, why is there such a barrier there? You know what I mean?
You know, I've thought about this and I kind of have to say it like this, and please forgive the analogy, but it's kind of like a relationship. Let's say you're in a relationship that fails and that you were betrayed and all this kind of stuff that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And actually trying to get back on the horse again and give it another shot.
No, you just don't want to get burned again.
You don't want to get burned again. You don't want to put your trust in anything else again, or you're hesitant to do so, especially something that seems so radically different.
So you're literally just protecting yourself.
I guess you can say that.
To some degree. You just don't. Why would you invest the effort into something that's not going to return?
Exactly, and everything else is already, you know, seems to not have worked, or there's something missing that I haven't quite gotten at this point. So, you know, it's almost like sour grapes.
Yeah.
Well, everything you try that doesn't work, it for most people, and I would say 99.9% of people, it's a ding to the ego. I mean, every time. I mean, even recently, I've done some stuff that, this isn't weight loss related or fitness related, but just, you know, tested some new stuff out, you know, business wise, and it just doesn't work. And in fact, it bombs, and you're like, man, am I just this, like, out of touch with what's going on? But, you know, it's not the case. It's the problem with it is nobody really knows everything. And so, you know, even with your lifestyle and all that stuff, I mean, nobody can really tell you exactly what to do step by step unless you want to totally abandon the lifestyle you have, which some people do.
So there's still some trial and error to it. So there's still a bit of a leap of faith that has to happen, at least give the next thing a try.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because there comes a point where either you're going to adapt to the old way, like, you know, before I was doing the Adonis, I was doing powerlifting and stuff like that, which is why I let myself get so large for my height. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started to see my progress under those rules, if you will, under those
that paradigm.
There you go. Good way of saying it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I had lost sight of my original goals, which was just to, well, look good.
Well, okay, so speak about that then. So along the way, you got caught into what me and Pilon call goal hijacking, and your goal just literally shifted on you. Can you speak to the concept of just that in general, like how quickly or easily or how that just sort of happened to you and you look back?
When I started, I had a one of those genetic freak friends. The guy never did any illegal substances or anything like that. He was just naturally like 6'5", 240 ripped. I mean, this guy was a monster. Nicest guy you'd ever know.
Hmm?
And he took me under his wing and he took me to the gym at the same time I was doing, you know, martial arts and stuff like that on the side. And he took me under his wing and showed me how to do things. And then, of course, eventually life takes over and you start going your separate ways, and you never really learn how to do it, and you're kind of forced to flounder around, find your own way. So try this program out. Why? Because you see this guy looks like this. Oh, I want to look like that guy. But really though, you know, yeah, it's good to look like that, but you got to have the strength to back it up. Strength back it up. All right. So try this one. Now you're going to get stronger. But you know what? You know who's good? You know who looks big and is strong? Athletes. So let's get you there too. So it's just like this natural progression of getting hijacked. It seems to be a step-by-step kind of thing. Soon, you know, you're totally gone from your original goal in the beginning.
Hmm. And then the goal of just building a better-looking body.
It seems to be almost like a not worthy goal anymore.
Yeah, it just disappears. And then it becomes – the training itself becomes the goal, right?
There you go. Good way of putting it.
Like powerlifting becomes the goal. Like lifting becomes the goal. Not the result lifting can produce, but just lifting.
Just about a number.
Yeah, or functional training. Like how much endurance can you do? Or various things, you know, like with CrossFit, it becomes how many reps of a particular exercise can you do in a row. And then all of a sudden now competitions spring up where you're just doing a bunch of power cleans. And then, you know, you look back and you're like, did I go to the gym to enter a power clean competition, or did I go to the gym because I just wanted to improve my look?
Hey, and if you wanted to go in there and improve your numbers and your how many reps you do, great, go for it. But somewhere along the line, I just got totally lost, sidetracked. It just seems like little steps take you so far away eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, I mean, I guess it's technically goal hijacking, but I wonder if a lot of it is people trying to find a bright spot in what they, I guess, perceive as despair. So let's say according to the original goal, they're not getting a result. So they start fishing around and digging for some type of positive result.
Oh, I think so. I think that's why a lot of people gravitate to charting their numbers in the gym, because their body isn't changing because they don't have the diet side under control. So Yeah, maybe so they have to find another way of tracking, quote, progress to, so they don't seem like they're literally going insane doing the same thing over and over again and getting nowhere. So that's when I think people start tracking how much stronger they get or how much endurance they have or how much further they can run or, I don't know. They just have to put some other metric on it to bring some sanity to the amount of work they're doing for such limited results. And all of it comes from, or at least what I think a lot of it comes from, is having a lack of direction, a lack of that body shape goal, and a lack of tracking it. Like without Adonis or Venus, you don't really have a way of measuring if you're getting anywhere. And then if you don't have your diet under control, well, your shape isn't going to change a whole lot anyways. Mm. So you're putting all this effort in. You don't really know where you're heading. Well, I can see why people just all of a sudden start measuring endurance and strength, because otherwise...
What else you have?
You go mental. Otherwise, why even go to the gym?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing I've been thinking about. Like, last night, I was just goofing off, and I pulled down. I forgot what I was looking at. I got on somebody's blog that I guess I was looking for it through some affiliate stuff, through people that send us traffic, and I got sidetracked and on somebody else's blog. And this one blog post is about, you're not a man unless you could do this, right? and literally, it's like, you got to be able to do so many push-ups, you need to be able to run a 200-yard dash at full speed, and you need to be able to – so, like, all of a sudden now, it's – you're not a man. And the funny thing about it is I got looking at this thing and comparing myself to see how I fit, right? And so then what the next thing it led me to was kind of a list of basic strength standards that I printed off just because I was, like, curious. I wanted to see where I was at, and I wanted to see where I was at on, like, presses and squats and bench press mm-hmm. and things like that, and where I compare – at my weight based on, you know, other people, my weight as well. And so, like, for some of the stuff, like, I'm advanced, or I could possibly be elite, like in shoulder press. It says I only need to be able to press 218. Well, nah, I'm a ways from that. But 164 for shoulder press for my weight is advanced. I'm like, woohoo, right? So that gives me some sort of gratification because I fit this some
arbitrary mold that somebody else just sort of threw up there. But you got to be careful with that sort of stuff, right?
Here's the thing. Now, let me kind of map it out, because I know where you're going with this. So now I looked over to squat, and I remember the last squat I did. I'm like, oh, damn, man, I'm only intermediate on that one, I think. But I haven't maxed squat, so maybe I should go max squat tomorrow and see where I'm really at, right? And I caught myself doing that because I don't want to be intermediate. I want to be elite, man. You know, and
but by whose standards?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I already got a taste because one of these criteria I fit. Right? So that label of advanced or elite, I fit on one of the criteria. So it's like, hey, I'm good at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, but based on some joker's blog, like, who cares?
Sure.
But that's how goal hijacking works. No, I understand that.
Yeah, so it kind of takes there's the opening there that you kind of give yourself where you're like, all right, I'm kind of stagnating because let's be honest, I mean, at a certain point, you know, fat loss kind of slows to a halt, and I guess we could talk about that in just a second, and it's kind of a grind.
So then you do need to find some other way to keep yourself motivated moving forward.
Yeah, and so you start just looking at that, but then. Next thing you know, man, you're off to the races, some different direction. You start thinking, like, oh, man, you know what? Screw this fat loss thing. This sucks. I'm not getting any results from this anyway. It's a grind. All I got to do is be able to, you know, squat 50 more pounds, and I'm the man.
Yeah, I just want to be elite at all these things. Well, I mean, so, and I guess for girls it won't be as big of a deal in strength numbers, but, I mean, we actually wouldn't mind hearing from you how all the goal hijacking works on your side. As compared to us, for us, we kind of get trapped in the whole be bigger, be stronger. And I know some
alpha
girls
get alpha male kind of thing.
Yeah, alpha male kind of thing. And for girls, I mean, I don't actually know where it all comes in. I mean, we kind of need to hear back from you on that one. But I do see people and trainers training women, girls of all ages, and they start getting into strength metrics and performance metrics. And I'm looking at some of these people who are paying these trainers. I'm like, do you really want to be here pushing a sled around, or are you just trying to lose weight? And I guess the message of all of this is there's no shortage of ways for your goals to be hijacked through media, various media outlets, magazines, blogs, everything. So just be aware. If you really do want to compete and you're a runner or competitive whatever, all the power to you. Just be honest that that's really actually what you're up to. And, you know, and it would be a shame to look back and be like, wow, I put all that effort in for something I never wanted.
Yeah. Well, I guess the big thing, and then we'll get to the next question we're going to talk to Jason about, but it seems like the big thing is that you don't – it's not – and the worst thing about it is that these people aren't thinking they're doing you a disservice. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what happens is like an identity just springs up out of it, and then they just roll with it. They just roll and they dig as far into it as they can. And I guess you could say our stuff's an identity too, but it's the I guess I like to say that it's the least hijacked of the identities. Like, we're not really trying to steal anything and bend you into our mold. We're just assuming we've guessed right as to what it is that everyone's trying to do. And yeah, then we did some research on it. We're like, oh, hey, there's numbers for it too. And then that's it. We're not really, you know, if you don't actually think that your training to do what we're talking about, it's getting into what we think is your best looking shape, well, then, you know, we're not for you. But if that's what you're up to, then we probably have a decent idea at least on how to get there. Yeah. And there's not a whole lot of identity around it. Like, a lot of these other things build and construct an identity, a lifestyle, and a new way to, like Brad, that article you read, it's a new way to categorize yourself. It's a new way to have social credibility and proof and social weight, so to speak. And, you know, if you're in a group of people where you get judged on how many squat thrusts you can do, well, whoever does the most somehow is the winner. So then you better get on to doing squat thrusts. But yeah, if that's not what you're interested in, and that's not the social circles you run in, and that's not your identity, then doing a bunch of squat thrusts means nothing. So
yeah, and I guess the reason we're beating this up is because I guess Jason, that was your big problem at the beginning. Was to bring this home. That was what you had to overcome first and foremost, and then obviously, I guess it started with eating less. Let's talk about your lifestyle as far as how you made that happen. Obviously, we talked about it was high carb. And for a lot of people, that would just seem like, I guess, because that's one of the things that are popular right now that's in vogue, people would just give up. So I guess maybe let's work within how your lifestyle worked, how you made it work, and all of that type of stuff.
Like, how you got all the way to the end to your final look, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I guess include kind of the grind of the last 2 inches too, because, you know, and kind of time period, so...
Let's see. You know,
yeah,
make it work for you most simply in the most simple way possible.
Yeah, you're gonna have to start over, dude. You gotta have to start over, dude. You fuzzed out.
Can you hear me?
Here, let's call you back.
Alright.
Man, we were rambling our ass off.
All right.
Yeah, that's better.
Cool.
Yeah, you can just start whenever you want.
All right. I think it all comes down to just working with what's available to you. You can't really – I don't know. It just seems like it's too much of a pain to change your whole life compared to the way that, you know, high carb, low carb, whatever have you, work with what's available to you. Once I caught on to this fact that it really is as simple as, you know, how many calories you eat every day or week should be less than what you use, it all just became really, really clear and really, really simple. You didn't have to worry about macronutrients and all this kind of stuff. At that point, it was just – go ahead.
No. Go finish.
At that point, it was just a matter of, okay, make sure I get enough protein in. I kept it between 70 grams, 120 a day approximately over the course of every day. And personally, I mean, you know, that was my number one goal after keeping the calories low enough. And once you figure out how many calories you need, you guys detailed it really well when you guys put Eat Stop Eat out there. And gave a really good idea. You guys gave really good ideas with the how many calories manual and stuff like that. It just really became simple. Mm. And once you hit this sweet spot, it was just, oh man, it was really, really, I don't know what the, I don't want to say cool because it was beyond cool. It was just really, really energizing to watch those numbers on the scale go down and watch the measurements go down in the places you want them to go down.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, go finish.
Oh, it's just, I don't know, it became addictive after a while. And it was just what became the motivation behind it is like, keep going.
What was, why was it so hard to believe that it was just calories in, calories out? Or like, why, like you said, once you finally accepted that, why was that so hard to accept? Or at least, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I honestly believe it was too much marketing pushes by other sites, by companies and things like that, combined with a bunch of people who had already, you know, like forum users and stuff like that, who had already bought onto that advertising claim that they basically pass off as fact. You have to eat high in order to lose more weight. That's just simply stupid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But people do really good at making that seem like that's the way to go, but no one knows that the whole thing is an advertising. Or you get a bunch of people out there who are just as lost as you are telling you to do it too, but you don't know they're lost when they're giving you that information to begin with. You know, like, you know, your average forum user, no offense to anybody, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Did you actually have a fear that eating in a deficit would do something to you? Like in a negative way? Did you have that fear at all? Or
not in the least. It just seemed, well, it wasn't talked about enough, so it's got to be wrong.
Hmm. Oh, I see. So since it wasn't even on the table as an option, you had no fear, you had no opinion at all.
Exactly. Why, if it's not being talked about, how's anybody going to get exposed to it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to sell eating less.
Well, it's the hardest thing on earth to sell.
Yeah, I mean, those two words, how can I bill you $19.95 a month for it? that's the ultimate goal. That's how plans are created. First and foremost is, okay, how do I tell somebody to eat less in such a way that they'll pay me $19 a month for life?
Mm-hmm. It's just not possible.
You know, so.
So, Jason, then seeing your transformation, and on this, a lot of people have seen your transformation. What would you say to as advice to anyone who's like to the girls here who are gonna give the first Venus Index contest a shot? What would you say about the psychology of going through a contest, and you know, just kind of the things they might expect along the way as far as socially?
You know, there's a point where people are going to say – they're going to question if what you're doing is healthy or not, depending on where your starting point was. I mean, for my height when I was 5'7", 5'5", 5'7", 5 inches, and when I started, I was at 201 pounds. Absolutely nobody thought I was overweight, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. The people I was with, my wife married me, and she saw pictures of me later. She's like, who's that guy? I was like, that's the guy you married, babe.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
So,
thanks for
support. Hey, you know what? I mean, if she married me like that, she'll stick with me through anything. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Nobody, at first people might be encouraging, but there's going to be a point where you're just going to run into a bunch of resistance from even the people who are closest to you. My wife was truly awesome during this time. She never discouraged me from doing it, which is really important to find someone like that if you can. And if you can't, then you're just going to have to get a very realistic set of eyes to what's going on around you. See the people who are saying it. Are they what you see as a healthy shape? Or are they what you see as someone who should be even giving this advice to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder if people are always kind of on the lookout for their friends that are, I don't want to say screwing up, but, you know, becoming unhealthy, basically having unhealthy habits. And I hate using that word, but I guess it's just people kind of get it. You know, everybody's.
You mean the same? The same as people are targeting, like, celebrities that want to see them fall.
Right. So, like, literally, like, you open up anytime you open up a magazine, you know, people or anything like that, they'll talk about how somebody's deathly skinny and skin and bones. And I guess people are always on lookout for that, and they read of how that person got there and all that stuff, and assume that it was that exact day-to-day process that got them there, but not thinking of you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same process either way for the most part. They just chose to take it to a long way past where we're even talking about going.
No, you mean the process of doing a contest versus ending up in a pathological sick state?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah. Well, it's what we've always said, and this has happened to a bunch of other contest winners, and Jason just alluded to it. When you're along the way, there seems to be a point where people are encouraging, and then there's a point where people feel like, for some reason, they feel like you should stop. And they feel also they have the right, or it's socially appropriate, to go ahead and tell you that's far enough and any further is not healthy for you. And that's because you don't fit into their worldview anymore. Like, or at least you don't fit into their worldview of how they viewed you up until now. So it's almost like the average person can afford to lose 30, 40 pounds until someone's like, doesn't fit with my image of what I think you are anymore. So if you lose any more, that's going to cause me to have to reevaluate you. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you you're fine where you are. And it's mostly for them, not for you. So
that's the point right there.
Oh yeah. At that point, they're not being supportive anymore. It's just more effort.
Selfish.
More emotional. Yes. It's more emotional effort on their side to have to go ahead and recategorize. Oh man, you're the fit person now. Oh my goodness.
Well, it makes them have to look inside themselves to say, well, this guy or this girl's fit, and what does that make me?
Well, exactly.
And nobody wants to face that.
Because what happens when you go ahead and cross a line that makes you more fit than them or in better shape than them? Especially if in the entire time they've known you, in their head somewhere, and it's never been verbalized, but in their head somewhere, they've, you know, everyone has their own perception of themselves and how they categorize themselves versus everyone else, whether or not they ever say it. And so let's say in their head, they're, you know, you're categorized as less fit than them in their own eyes. Well, what happens when that switches the day they see you and they're like, oh man, now you're more fit than me? That doesn't really work for my worldview. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you to stop, because now all of a sudden I need to recategorize that I'm less fit than you, or you're in better shape than me, or that's not how these things go. Like, I need you back the way you used to be, because now
I've let's say that this isn't necessarily a conscious decision, though. It's not, and a lot of cases this is an unconscious decision. I don't think that there's a lot of your friends out there going, okay, I'm going to purposely sabotage you so that I feel better about myself. And I'm not saying people don't do that, but I'm saying this is something subconscious.
Oh yeah, and it happens completely subconsciously. And we've had guys in the forum who've told us this has happened with them and their spouses, or their significant others, their live-in others, and they, you know, guys have come out in the forum and be like, you know, this, I'm getting this kind of pushback, and like literally like 10 or 11 weeks into a contest, like there's like 1 week left, and you know, the first 10 weeks was okay, then that week 10, said significant other, girlfriend, whatever, was like, you know, I think you're taking this too far. I think you should stop. And then, you know, poor guys in the forum going, is there something wrong? Like, do I look? And then it turns out that, you know, maybe she's self-conscious because, he's getting in good, too much shape, or she's not comfortable with it, or he's approaching her body weight, or any of those sort of things can happen. Mm. And I mean, from a, you know, another girl looking at another girl, maybe it's a friend of yours, a family member, a sibling, something. For some reason, your body weight changes really bothers people. And you're just going to have to – this is going to happen. It's just going to happen.
And you know what? People are going to come up to you with food when you're not ready to eat it or whatever. People are going to actually – I did discover this one. There are some people out there who are your friends who are just going to enjoy tempting you. They're just going to enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
You know, I had people come up to me with I have a small piece of a birthday cake because I'm at a birthday, but they come up with their third thing going, oh yeah, you know, that kind of thing. And it's something you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. For the most part, I don't think, people that are close to you, a lot of times I don't even think it's even their own identity against you. I think for most people, it's them really looking out for you. Like, for instance, like if you're going, I don't want to say going to an extreme, but for them, maybe it feels like you're going to an extreme. For like a perfect example, I mean, I obviously work a lot, and you know, Elle worries sometimes. She's like, man, you're working your ass off a lot. I mean, you know, are you worried you're going to get burned out and stuff like, you know what I'm saying? So it's not, I would say probably 90% of the time, they're coming from a good place, and they just don't understand it all. And then, you know, obviously there's probably some other stuff that comes in.
Well, the difference there is, do they have an accurate perception of what the limits are?
Correct. That's where I'm getting to. And the second thing is that, this is going to open up a whole other can of worms, but how come it's okay for somebody to be concerned over you skipping a meal, but they're not concerned by you adding a meal? And let me take that a step further. So if I skip a meal, it's not good. But if I go get seconds that were the same size as my firsts, that's okay.
Well, you just have a healthy appetite.
Right. So I've eaten two meals right there. It's two plates of food.
Think of how ridiculous this is. That and the top. I mean, since we're on this, getting, you know, talking about transforming and losing weight, how ridiculous is it that, you know, no one gave me pushback when I was, you know, 40 pounds overweight? No one really called me out on, like, hey, you know, do you think you got something to lose there? No one bugged Jason. No one bugged even Dan Richardson when he was 250 pounds. He said people were starting to be concerned with him taking it too far and losing too much weight in his after pictures when he has a six pack. But when he was 250 pounds, he's like, why didn't anyone come up to me and say, hey, don't you think you're unhealthy, too heavy? And weird that it's okay. You could eat your way to death on the way up, but people are super concerned if you try to diet for a few weeks.
Yeah, and it's, well, it seems that when people get too thin and like, you know, when people see, you know, people who are deathly sick and stuff like that, you know, like medically sick, cancer, mm-hmm. or any of those other things, starvation in third world countries, they see people who are just too slim and too slim, emaciated. And that's just an image people see when people start to get too slim. They start wondering if you're sick. I can't tell you how many people came up to me after not seeing me for 6 months going, wow, you lost a lot of weight. Have you been sick?
Yeah, I agree. And I actually thought about this a lot. And I think we're genetically, at least a little bit, we're genetically predisposed to recognize weight loss as sickness. Because
that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And besides purposeful weight loss, the way we're doing it, the only other time a human will ever lose weight is when they're sick and when they're really sick. Like you said, right. Cancer, wasting diseases, things like AIDS, like diarrhea and things like that, where kids are just, it's just the weight's falling off of them and it's bad. So severe wasting sicknesses, severe pathologies are associated with weight loss. And it stands to reason that over evolutionary time, we recognize weight loss as sick. And I think it's a genetically built-in reaction we have to seeing anybody lose weight for any reason. And that's why I don't think we have the equal reaction on the opposite end when we're gaining weight. People are like, oh no, you're sick, because it's not built into us to recognize people getting bigger as, quote, a sickness, even though all of our sort of chronic lifestyle disorders are all associated with being overweight.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like I said, I realize we kind of opened up a can of worms on this one, but you know, it is what it is, and that's why we do what we do. We talk about what the real situations are. We don't really sugarcoat anything. I just, like, literally, I have never seen anybody, unless they were like trying to really make somebody feel bad on purpose, like being vindictive. But I've never, ever, ever been around somebody where a person goes up for seconds or thirds, and they say, holy cow, man, don't you think that's how you got that way? You know, don't you think you need to kind of take it easy? I mean, that's probably not the best in the world for you. We need to, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, no, I know. It's, even though it's probably not healthy and all of that stuff, if they are gaining weight, it's not your, I don't know. It's somehow the social convention has come around to that's completely taboo and off limits to say. But on the other side, it's people totally feel it's their right to tell people to not lose weight, so, or at least not lose it past what some random person feels is an acceptable degree.
Sure.
And we were not talking, I mean, you know, I would trust an exercise physiologist or someone who knows, and I don't even know if I'd trust an MD, but someone who studies that, I would trust their opinion a lot more than just some random person saying, yeah, I don't think you have any more to go. I'm like, well, what do you know? Yeah. So
it's like my friend, the one I blogged about on the forums one time, my friend E.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the doctor and he's shorter than me. I think he's like 5'6" and he was pushing 250. And the doctor comes to him like, you need to lose weight or you're not going to be able to see your kids, much less your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So he took my transformation and he just ran with it. And I'm, you know, I feel really good that I could be a part of a little part of what he's done. And in like the 6 months that he's been dieting down so far, I think he's lost almost 100 pounds.
Holy cow.
And good for him. And that's so he didn't mess around. When he heard it from his physician, he's like, okay,
He got together with his wife and they made a plan and then he started quietly. He didn't even ask for help originally, you know, and then one day I noticed that he's lost, you know, 20 pounds. I'm like, hey man, I can help you out. I can, you know, see what you're doing, if there's anything I can do to help you out, let me know. And I left it with that because there's no point in beating a dead horse at that time. He knows what he's doing, but I extend that hand to him. And he took it and he ran with it. I mean, man, I am so proud of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh, this industry is totally, I say this industry, I feel like I'm getting ready to rally, but it's literally event based. And I don't think people understand that, but the worst thing in the world that can happen to you often turns into being the best thing in the world that can happen to you. You know, so it's like nobody ever makes a decision to lose weight. I won't say nobody, but I would say a large percentage, 80% of the people don't make the decision to lose weight until something happens to them where it crosses their mind that if they were not that heavy, that wouldn't have happened. Whether it's they're in a bar, you know, and a guy or a girl just doesn't pay them the attention they think, or you know, maybe it's a snide comment. Maybe it is a heart attack or something healthy.
A visit to the doctor's office that doesn't go well. A relationship fails on you.
Something breaks up. Matters deeply. It's something that really matters.
Something's got to hurt. It's got to hurt first.
Yeah.
The kick in the ass has to come. Unfortunately, it's painful. Something has to hurt.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously move away from pain and towards pleasure, but we move away from pain a lot faster than we move toward pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I've seen it, like I said, I've been in this game for, you know, 10 years. I've probably talked to 10,000 people face to face and I've seen it over and over again. It literally takes something like that for somebody to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we should probably wrap this up. Jason, can you give some, since the Venus Index contest is coming up, and this is the first round, what advice would you give just to anyone who's going through a contest, just the 12-week run of it, you know, how to stay on track, something useful you did that seemed to help you get through it?
Number one, first and foremost, get started before the contest begins. That is huge. Get started, work out. You're going to find that you have problems. You're going to have to make adjustments. You're going to find that you're going to try something and it's not going to work. Maybe your calories are too high. Maybe your intensity in the gym isn't as high as what you think it is. Maybe there's an equipment limitation at your gym, but you're never going to know any of this stuff until you actually step up and start it up early before the time begins. So get some momentum going. That is key number one. Number two, it's just you're going to have to be consistent. You're going to have to find what works for you. You're going to have to stay consistent. I mean, there's no other way to say that.
It's just 12 weeks.
It's huge. Yeah, and it's only 3 months. I mean, it's really not that far. It's not that long. It's not as long as what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And go ahead. While I gather my thoughts, go for it.
Well, I was going to ask you, when it comes to consistency, obviously, you know, for the second contest, I mean, you got pretty lean. I mean, I guess the big thing is because we've talked about the big, broad, and huge weight loss, but the thing we really never cover is how to navigate the minefield of the last couple of inches, like all the things that you had to. You're battling all the you know, things that are going through your head. Are you doing this right? Am I, you know, those types of things? Because it all the other stuff, it slows down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, so walk us through
We seem to be very emotionally invested in these things like weight loss and stuff, watching the inches come down where we want them to come down. Excuse me. We seem to become very emotionally invested in it, and there comes a point where it is going to slow down, and you got to kind of keep a level head about it. You can't get really freaked out. I found that there was a point or two where I'm sitting there getting really frustrated that nothing's happening. But if I look at the numbers and what I'm eating and the amount I'm burning, amount I'm using versus, you know, calories in, calories out and all that stuff, you know, according to the paper and what I've done, I know for a fact that something's happening despite seeming temporarily in this void at the moment. It would have been very easy to just get lost in the investment emotionally, if you know what I'm saying, because I did find myself getting a little frustrated at time to time.
Yeah, I remember reading some of your blog posts about it.
And you just got to keep going. You got your plan, and maybe you have to adjust it down a little bit. I remember, okay, well, I seem to have stopped, so I'm going to drop another 100 calories or 200 from what I'm eating every day. And if that doesn't do it, I'll work on it one step at a time. It's kind of like a refining process, step by step. You can't go – the first step in the beginning seems to be pretty drastic. Okay, I'm going to fast twice a week and I'm going to eat, you know, my RMR. That's pretty drastic for most people to begin with. But that's going to be enough for huge transformations. But once you get down to a certain point, it just becomes like this systematic step by step process that we got to take one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying trust the numbers that it's going to happen, because the change becomes small enough that you may not notice it on the scale or in the mirror as quickly as you did before. So at the end, the changes are so fine that you just have to trust it.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know what? Those small changes, it's weird that we get so addicted to watching the big changes that we're impatient for the small changes. Like, hurry up, I'm almost there, I'm so close, you know? And,
yeah.
And it's just that really wanting it so badly that it's really hard to just stay that consistent. But we gotta.
Yeah, and I experienced the exact same thing just recently. I was, you know, at the beginning, you can literally knock pounds off. Man, it almost seems like by the hour at the very beginning. And then towards the end, you're just like... You're just looking for a little line here or there, and you're like, that's going to take another day. And then you're like, that's actually going to take two more days. And it's long since that the scale's really changing anymore. Now it's just, you know, it's going to take a couple more days for this area or that area to tighten up. And I mean, as it happens with guys, as they approach their final Adonis index, and I've worked with some girls approaching their final Venus index, same thing happens. The big weight loss is over towards the end. Then it's just areas tightening up with almost zero change on the scale. Like it, and inches are going to still come in and tighten up. It's just you have to trust. You literally just have to trust the numbers. I'm so glad you said it that way, because a couple people I'm working with did the exact same thing, and you know, the numbers on the page, you know, eat at your RMR or work below it, and then it's like it, you know, it comes off. It just takes a, you know, the increments become finer. That's all.
Yeah. And you didn't do any cardio at all, and you don't do it, or what's the story on that now?
Absolutely no cardio, man. None whatsoever.
Okay.
It was all calories in, calories out, and training at the gym. Now, yeah, I did go 6 days a week because my schedule allowed it.
Sure.
But, you know, that's what I could do, and that's what I did.
6 days. No, and to be clear, 6 days a week of weight training.
6 days a week of weight training, four days a week of Adonis, and then 2 days a week of a specialization of my choice.
Mm-hmm. And so just to be clear, no cardio there. So no exercise that was designed for any reason to burn calories, so to speak.
None whatsoever. I don't even think I was riding my bicycle casually during those days, not because of any particular reason, except that I wasn't riding a bicycle those days. Mm-hmm. You know, I did nothing out of my way to burn extra calories other than calories in, calories out, and work in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you got no cardio at all.
Yep. And you got as lean can be.
Thanks, man.
No, I mean, like I said, your transformation got a bunch of other people on board. So that was, I guess we have to thank you for that one.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, right. I mean, I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah, I don't have anything else. You got anything else you want to close out on, Jason?
No, I think we said it all. And more, man. As usual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
That's what's the way it
fun.
Goes.
It's fun having a veteran on board that can, kind of wax prolific with us a little bit, because obviously you've been in the forums and seen, a lot of the struggles and strife that a lot of people have seen and even helped some other people. So you're one of us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Totally.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. So for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.